But today, as we conclude this series on unwrapped gifts, I would encourage you, if you've missed any of them, they're all on our drcc.net website. You can go back and listen to any of the messages from this series. We looked at unwrapped gifts, and I actually, if you noticed it or not, I used for the first part of the series an acrostic for the series. And we looked at unwrapped giving. We looked at unwrapped insight. We looked at unwrapped fellowship. We looked at unwrapped teaching and unwrapped service. And the final three messages just used L. Unwrapped love. Unwrapped leadership. Last week we talked about. This morning we come to that gift that, well, a lot of times we tend to avoid because we're not quite sure what to do with it. Unwrapped languages. Some would refer to it as the gift of tongues. That ability that God gave to speak in languages so that others could understand it. And I think sometimes, I was talking to an individual this last week about the book of Revelation, and I think this particular gift kind of falls into that similar category. Sometimes we're not quite sure how we ought to talk about it because it's confusing to us. We're not sure what to do with it, and so we avoid it. And the reason it's confusing sometimes is because, well, we're trying to make sense of it from our perspective. And what we really need to do is discover it from God's perspective. And so as we look at this final gift of the series, and again, we've not really talked about an exhaustive list of all of the gifts that God gives to His children. We could spend years in a series talking about all of the gifts that God gives to His children because they are many. But as I think about this gift of languages and how do we unwrap that for today's church, I sat back and I asked myself, what is God's plan? Not how is it being used, not how was it being used, but what was God's plan? If He gives a gift, I'm assuming, because that's His nature, that there's a thought process behind it. There's a reason why He gives the gifts that He gives. And so this morning, as we unwrap this gift of languages, I want us to consider, to be able to see, to be able to understand God's plan. I have two sections of scriptures I want to use. One is really the first application of this gift. We find it in Acts chapter 2. The other section is in 1 Corinthians 14, probably one of the most known teaching passages about the gift of languages. And I think when we understand how it was used and then how it was taught, it helps bring us to a better grasp on God's plan and to what He's doing in our life today. So I want to begin in Acts chapter 2. I want to read this section of scripture from verses 2 through 16 to give us that background of the gift of languages in action. And then we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians and unwrap this plan. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 4 actually. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard the disciples, the apostles. They heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? Parthenians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, so they will prophesy." I want to jump down to the near the end, the result of what God was doing in this example of this gift of languages. He says, when the people heard this, the message that Peter ends up proclaiming, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And so we see the first record of God giving this special gift of languages, of being able to speak so that they were understood. And I believe that's the heart of this gift of languages, is God's desire not to bring confusion, but to bring understanding. And as the crowds had gathered in Jerusalem, this day of Pentecost, the Israelite community, the Jewish community, would have thought nothing of this in relationship to the church. You know, we hear the day of Pentecost and we think about this particular passage out of Acts and the beginning of the church. For the Jewish audience that was gathering, it was a celebration of God's work. And they would come from all over to celebrate God. And there would be residents of the community, there would be foreigners, there would be all kinds of people from all languages. And God grants this gift of languages so that every person could understand what was being said. Years ago, I did a couple mission trips to a friend of mine that was working in Russia. And there were times that they would have me share with the group, but in order for that to happen, my friend had to translate for me. I didn't know any Russian, they didn't know any English. And I often thought about this gift of just simply being able to speak, because frankly, as a speaker, having someone translate for you takes a bit getting used to know how much to say and when to pause and all of these other things. And that's just when you have one other language. And in the book of Acts, he lists multiple languages. And so God grants this special gift so that everyone can hear the good news of Jesus in their own language. An incredible gift, and yet, as often is the case with things that we receive from God, things that we receive from others, eventually we try to take those things and use those as a means of measurement to try to prove we're better than everybody else. You know, Mom loves me best because did you see what she bought me? And we take those gifts that people give us and we use them as measurement to say, I'm loved more than anyone else. Unfortunately, within the church, there were those that were taking this gift of languages, this gift of tongues, and doing that exact same thing. They weren't using it in order to communicate the good news of Jesus to others. They were using it to draw attention to themselves. And they were saying, look at me. I'm more spiritual than everybody else. Look what God's Spirit is doing through me. Now, I believe, and this is my belief, and I think there's scripture to back it, that this speaking in tongues is practiced in the book of Acts and in other places here in the New Testament. God used as a special sign to signify that he was behind what was being said. And I believe that gift has diminished over time because the necessity of it has diminished. Just as the gift of healing, and we talked about a few weeks ago, people don't walk by me and automatically be healed because my shadow falls upon them. But that was a gift God had given in the New Testament, that the apostles could walk through a street and people be healed simply because the apostles' shadow fell upon them. Or they would touch them. And I think God did that for a specific time and purpose to make his apostles, his messengers, known with credibility. And it's not that I think that that has completely disappeared. I think God still gives people that gift of healing. And I think he's allowed us to use that. But sometimes he gives that gift of healing and we ignore it because he gives it to doctors and he gives it to nurses and he gives it to medical professionals. And he says, you have this gift. Use it with your education and your training to bring glory to God. I also know people who have what I would say is this gift of language. It's not that they're speaking in tongues in this unknown manner, but he gives them the ability to grasp and understand languages that I can't grasp and understand. And it prepares them to speak for God and to proclaim the good news of Jesus in places that I wouldn't be understood in. And so when we look at this, I begin again to ask myself, when it comes to unwrapping this gift, what is God's plan? If he didn't give this gift for the purpose of confusing us, that's the first part of the plan, is what is his purpose? Well, jumping over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want us to look at verse 6. And again, the word in the text, and your word, your translation may say tongues, some translations may say language, it's the same word. It's the same Greek word that it comes from. When you look at the Bible talking about people from every language and tribe gathering around the throne of Jesus. Again, some will say every tongue and every nation. It's talking about that ability to speak and be understood. And so verse 6, it says, now, brethren, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation of or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? And so as we unwrap the gift of languages, as we know God's plan, we recognize his purpose is for the benefit of the hearer. He said, what good does it do if I'm able to speak in all kinds of languages and no one understands them? If I show up speaking in Russian, and there's no Russian speaking people or understanding people in the audience. Have I really edified anyone? Have I really encouraged anyone? Have I really taught anyone? He says the purpose is to bring instruction, it's to bring revelation, it's to bring knowledge, it's to bring God's word. So we unwrap this gift of language and we discover that whatever language we speak in, it ought to be done to the glory of God. It ought to be done for the benefit. The Bible tells us that we ought to speak to one another in a way that builds them up. That in a way that benefits the hearer. And so we unwrap this and we discover God's purpose is a purpose of communication. But we also need to look at God's plan and discover His lesson. If His purpose is to communicate with us, what is it that He's trying to teach us? And particularly within this gift of language. So we continue on in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. Here's the lesson behind it. He says, even in the case of lifeless things that make sound, such as the flute or harp, the musical instruments that make sound, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? You know, sometimes, and you know, I sing off key, and sometimes I don't even know there's a key that exists. And so he said, what are you doing? I'm singing to God. Said, well, that's what that was. Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. And God's plan in this gift of languages is this lesson that we learn from other examples that there has to be clarity. I've got a phone that has different tones on it based on the different types of messages that are coming in. And some of those are just notifications that I know that tone isn't something I need to worry about. It's just letting me know that somebody's commented on the Bible app and I can go back and look at that whenever. It's nothing urgent. Other tones that my phone gives me are tones that I think I need to answer that. That's the tone that comes from someone that says that there's a need, there's a reason. Now, back in the old day, and many of you have lived that through me, you didn't have these multiple tones on a phone. It rang and you either answered it or you didn't. And sometimes you regretted answering it. But now that we have these specific tones that are clear, it teaches me that I can avoid the things that are not of importance to me, and I can still get the things that are of importance to me. And the clarity with which we speak is important. And God says if we're speaking a language that nobody understands, we're simply speaking into the air and we're not benefiting the body. And so we use that gift of language to decide and to discover, how do I speak into the life of the person that I'm talking to? And sometimes that language is a completely different language. Sometimes it's just a different dialect of our own language. Words mean things to us, but the words that mean things to me may not be the same words that mean something to you. And this gift of languages helps me to listen to how the other person understands, so that I can speak more clearly so that God's word can be understood. And so this unwrapped language, knowing God's plan, is not just knowing His purpose, it's not just knowing His lesson, it's knowing His announcement. What is it that's so important? One of those tones on my phone is a weather thing that says, you're in trouble weather-wise, you need to get to safety. Doesn't quite say it exactly like that, but I know that's that thought. If I could speak, I'd be dangerous. I know that that's what that tone means. And God's announcement tells us that we're in trouble, that we need to get to safety, and the safety is found in Jesus. Verses 10 and 11, 1 Corinthians 14 says this: undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. And so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. God's plan for this gift of languages is announced in His desire that the church, the body of Christ, is built up. If we are foreign to the language being spoken, we're probably not being built up. If the audience is foreign to the language being spoken, they're probably not being built up. And so God declares this announcement that I want you to excel, I want you to pursue, I want you to be known as those who build up one another. Many of us have had times in our life, we may still have times in our life, that we long for certain gifts. I remember as a child, and as birthdays and Christmas would roll around, there would always be something in my mind that I really want that. And there were times that I would get so frustrated because mom or dad would say, "You don't need that." Or mom or dad would say, "You wouldn't do anything with it if you had it." And sometimes it was just that cool thing that everybody else had, and I wanted it not because I knew what to do with it, but because everybody else had one. But my mom and dad were incredible at sorting through all of the things I wanted and finding those things that would be a benefit to me. And sometimes I recognized it right away. I said, "Wow, this is exactly what I needed, and I didn't even know I needed it." But to be honest, most of the times it took time. They knew exactly what would benefit me the most, but it would take me time to realize. And so sometimes that initial reaction was probably that reaction that parents fear, is that disappointment. We want our children to be happy with the gifts we give. And they would give me this, and what's that about? But for me, every time that I can remember, at least, I eventually knew what it was about. I knew the benefit and why they got what they got, why they gave what they gave. And God's announcement to us is when we unwrap the gifts of any gift that He gives us, including the gift of language, that we focus on the benefit that it is to others. We desire to excel in lifting up and building up the body of Christ. And finally, as we know God's plan in unwrapping this gift of language, it's important that we know His nature. We have a good God. We have a loving God. We have a compassionate God, a God full of mercy and grace. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 14. He says, for this reason, because I want you to excel in building up the body of Christ. Here's my nature regarding this gift of language. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what is said. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what should I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. God says that his nature within us is a multifaceted nature. We can't separate out, or shouldn't separate out, our mind from our spirit. That this is our intellectual operations of life, and this is our spiritual operations of life, and we just don't let them interact. God says that's not his nature. His nature is complete. His nature within us is complete. And he says it's best when you pray and when you sing and when you praise God, that it combines your mind and spirit. That it's not simply a spiritual tongue, prayer language kind of thing that only you and God knows. But it's a spirit mind, building up the body kind of thing. We gather together, God says, for the purpose of praising Jesus, of honoring Jesus, of worshiping him. That is kind of the spiritual part. And we need to do that. And I believe we do that well here at Deer Run. But if it's just between us and God, then why even come together? You see, it's not just the spiritual part of worship. It's the mental, it's the mind part. Where God also says we gather together not just to worship and exalt the name of Jesus, but we gather together for the purpose of encouraging one another. That's the mind. That's the intentionality that we ought to live with. And I think we do that well as also here at Deer Run. And this nature of God says, I care about the entire person. I care about your mind. I care about your spirit. I care about your emotions. I care about who you are. And the only way that I can benefit you is if I speak in a way that you understand me. And so to desire some gift of unknown and unlearned language that no one else understands is kind of a selfish thing, he says. When I ought to desire to excel in the gifts that we've talked about already in this series. The gift of love, the gift of serving, the gift of giving, and so many other gifts of God that benefit others more than they benefit me. We unwrap the gift of languages because God talks about it. But we unwrap it according to God's plan. And we discover that it's not to get me noticed. It's not to get the person that's desiring to speak another language noticed. Throughout the New Testament, whenever we see examples of people speaking in other languages, the result, every time, is people being brought to Jesus. The result, every time, is people being built up in Christ. The result, every time, is an affirmation that the messenger is proclaiming the truth of God's word. And we do that today. Whether we speak the language that is native to our upbringing or whether we speak a language that is not native to our upbringing, we do it according to God's plan when we exalt Him and we build up the body and we benefit the hearer. So this morning, this time of decision, it's a gift that we've unwrapped that we probably have struggled with what it even means. But it's a gift that God gave according to His plan. And my challenge to every one of us is the same challenge that Paul gave to the Corinthians. Work on the language that you know. Desire to excel in gifts that benefit the body of Christ. And sometimes that gift is a gift of language. And you're a benefit to someone that doesn't understand me. And sometimes you take the words that I speak here on a Sunday morning and you share them with a coworker in a way that's different than what I said them. And you're using that gift of language. And you're explaining God's word in a manner that can be understood by the hearer. They may not have understood me, but out of relationship, they understand you. And as you unwrap this gift according to God's plan, you discover His purpose. You discover His lesson. You discover His announcement. And you discover His nature. And we have this gift. We have it because God has given it. And like all of the other gifts, the question is, will you use it to glorify God rather than glorify self? That's God's call to all of us in whatever gift He gives. It's meant for His glory. It's meant to be used to make Him known. It's meant to benefit those around you even more than it benefits you. If you're here this morning, if you're joining us online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you're kind of still struggling with what is this gift of God even about? It really does begin with receiving the gift of Jesus. The gift of salvation, the gift that covers the multitude of sin in our life, that washes us clean. And if you've never surrendered to Jesus and been washed of your sins, I'd love to talk with you about that. If you're here today, you can join me in the room to my left as we sing in a few moments, or you can talk to me after church. You can call the office at some time during the week and say, hey, can we get time to meet together? We can have that conversation. But for most of us, we gather each Sunday morning because we've surrendered to Jesus. We've declared Him to be Lord of our life. We want to live for Him and we want to learn. We want to grow. We still have a transformation that is ongoing in our life. And for us, our decision has more to do what will I do with the gifts God has given? How will I use them to benefit the body of Christ? How will I use them to benefit my coworkers, my fellow students, my neighbors, my family? How will I use these gifts, including the gift of language, to lift up Jesus more than myself? You see, our decision today is a decision that's made not just with our words here today, but it's really made by what we do tomorrow, by what we do Thursday, by what we do each day that we live. Am I taking what God has given, and am I using it for His glory, for the benefit of the body of Christ? If you need someone to pray with you today, you're welcome to join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, could you pray with me? And I would hope and pray that they would. And you can pray where you're at. You could go off to another room or area. You can meet with somebody after the church or call them during the week and say, hey, can we pray together? Praying for one another is a powerful thing. And I believe as we continue to grow in the gifts God has given us, we pray with our mind and with our spirit. And together, God builds up the church. Would you stand as we sing?